Now, this morning, I'm going to just have a message to bring a lot of recall and what kind of religion that we have, what kind of experience that we go through in life as Christians, and what we receive from the Lord. And I'm going to, well, I have a lot of scripture verses, so I'm going to call one of you to read. I could call a sister, I could call a brother to read. Okay? You understand? So please, when I call you to read, stand up and read it loud, because the mic is going to try to pick you up. Alright? So, you know, if you remember, if you look into the past year or two, how did I brought out certain teaching? And if you know that sometimes I've got out a certain series, and the series may last for a couple of weeks, and then later on there is a break where I will bring in, you know, individual message for each Sunday. You know, it may be for 3 Sundays, 5 Sundays, or more. Now usually, as I said before, I always plan my message ahead. So each time I finish the message on Sunday, I go back and I have meditate what I preach. And sometime when I meditate, I would pick up some topic that I want to teach on or to share. And so I have already some messages already in store in these next few weeks. Alright? So I hope that it doesn't catch you by surprise. Now, yesterday, as usual, the same believer in that message sent me a link. And I went to look at the link. He actually put up a little video of about Brother Branham. As usual, you know, they're always talking about Brother Branham. So when I went to that link, I happened to see on the side of the YouTube. You know, YouTube, you see the video on the right-hand side, they see a whole lot of other. And something caught my eye. And there are two videos that caught my eye. One was that a Indian preacher, and I don't know whether he was an Indian message or not, because he mentioned a name, he was talking to a brother Neville, which I don't know if that is a tabernacle there or not, but he was in Europe, and he was an Indian preacher with beard and all this, and wearing a saffron kind of a robe. So I don't know whether he has an Indian message or not. And he was prophesying that because of his vision, he had a vision that Donald Trump is going to be the president and going to lead the world into war. Okay. And then, of course, when I clicked just to hear what you have said, he showed there were other links too. And so people have a prophecy that Donald Trump will be the president. And then on the other side, there are other group of Christians, they have visions and dreams that Hillary will be the president. So you pick your choice. Take your pick who will be the president. You know, and I was wondering sometimes that if you like someone to be something, you know, your desire for someone or something, and when you eat too much at night, you go to sleep, and the food will give you that fuel to give you that dream, you know, that so and so will be this or will be that. So anyway, but what the other video that I looked at was a preacher who gave a little sharing in his preaching that back in the year 65, if I got it right, 65, he said that Brother Branham, referring to that year, but he said that he got this news from a man who had been with Brother Branham at that time. And that man now is about 70 years old. And he said that the brother told him that, you know, when I was a teenager, around about 19 years old, I was younger than that, I wanted to play the organ for the church. And so I was, you know, he said he went to learn, and learned for several months, and the piano teacher or the organ teacher was not very happy with him and said, "Give it up, young man. The only thing that you can play is the radio." You know. So he doesn't have to play, but his desire was to play, you know. So he said after that young man, couple of months or so or time down the road, there was a cruiser he went, and there was an evangelist called Jack Cole. If you do not know Jack Cole, just go and search on the internet. All those are the early Pentecostal preacher, Allen, D.R. Spon, Jack Cole, and many others. You know, Jack Cole was a preacher, and this man that went up there to be prayed for, and he went up there, and Jack Cole, he said that Jack Cole was a big man. Yeah, he was a big man, all right. He was a prayed for man. He just grabbed hold of this teenager and just prayed of him. He said, "Lord, let him play the organ." You know, there was nothing mentioned about the organ. And he just said, "Man, ask the young man to go." And a few months later, this young man started to pick up and was able to play the organ. And then he said that one day he prayed for Brother Branham's crusade. And after it was over, Brother Branham came up to the young man and asked him, "Let's go for lunch." And the young man was surprised. You know, he said, "Why, Brother Branham, asking to go for lunch with him? You know, you never expect that, you know." They were doing a lunch and they were having a chat, and he told Brother Branham, "You know, Brother Branham, you know, I can help you have a great meeting. You know, organize a great meeting." Brother Branham was not for that thing. He said, "Young man, I won't be around." He said, "But Brother Branham, you're only in your 50. Brother Branham at the time was coming to 56. So he died in 56. I'm 56 years old, you know. It was 1965. And Brother Branham said, "No, I'm going." But, now this preacher was sharing what this 70-year-old man was telling him back in those years. He said, "Brother Branham said, I'm going. The ministry is over. And after I'm gone," he said, "there will be this period where there will be a whole lot of teaching and a mighty revelation about the Word of God coming forth. More things are known." And we see it. He said, "And after that, there will come a group of men where they begin to speak and people will have miracles. Things will happen." So you're going to see it. Now, surely enough, this thing was not recorded on the Brother Branham. Brother Branham, when he talked about, you know, fivefold ministry, is the humble ministry coming, and he talked about the seven thunders, wait for the nowadays. But they are not all, you know, people don't seem to connect what's going to happen. So we know that Brother Branham said that there's going to be this tremendous teaching. People get to understand more the Bible, the mysteries. And that's what we talked about, the early rain. And then we know the early rain comes, then comes the latter rain. Now, this is the thing that we all are excited about. Isn't that right? So, today, we're going to look into the book of Luke, chapter 24, 32. We're going to read this first, and then another verse, and then later on, I'll ask your brother or sister to read. "And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and what he opened to us, the scripture." See? You know, these were the disciples, they were on the road to Emmaus, and Jesus came along, and, you know, and after that, I shared the prayer with them, and how they expressed this, you know, the excitement. He said, "Did not our heart burn within us when he opened the scriptures?" Alright. Now, if you tell that don't open the scriptures, then of course it's a different story altogether. You understand? And every time Jesus preached, he always quote the scripture. You know that. Paul, Peter, no. Okay. Now let us go to the book of Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 verse 22. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." How many, Father, bless the word we read and what we are about to study, Lord, from thy Holy Scripture. Bless it, Father, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In our Christian, my title is just heartfelt religion. I mean, when we talk about the word religion, there is the true religion and the false religion. Religion of all kinds, right? Now when we talk about religion, we are talking about, as far as the Bible is concerned, the real religion, because the word religion came from the word religo, which means to bind back. And God was the one who started that. After Adam sinned, God had to religo Adam back. So he bind back, and then he set forth this religion by sacrificing innocent animal to shed blood, that is to redeem man, because the blood in mankind is contaminated. So we know that in the world today there are so many different religions, and some religions are really bad. As you know, some religion will pollute the water. You know what I'm talking about? And some religion will pollute the air. You know? Well, and God, there are other religions that they don't pollute the water, they don't pollute that, but they pollute their own mind. So we're all kinds of religion altogether. But here we're talking about the Bible's religion. This heartfelt religion, there are three things that are essential to our faith. And because it is real, we can feel it. And that's why the disciple said that deal with our heart. You know, when you feel that excitement, do you not burn within us? When you open up the scripture, we see because it burns me now, because there's this joy. It's that therefore, what we are experiencing as Christians, there are three things that will affect us. Facts. I don't want to use the word facts. I want to use the word truth. You know what fact is? I mean, when people say facts, like scientists say, oh, you know, this, the animal evolved from a frog to this, to, you know, evolution. You know, they call that facts, scientific facts, you know. And they will look at a fossil and say, this fossil is so many billions of years old and all this. So they always call it facts, but of course not necessarily true. You understand? But we know the Bible truth is facts. So we are using the word. First of all, the three things we know. The first is truth. That's what we want to know. The secondly is faith. That is the essential. If you don't have a truth, you cannot have a faith, because your faith then will be based on what? Okay, and lastly, it is our, like the disciple said, it burns within us. You know, when you open the scripture, the word must enter into us, and we have this burning sensation, this feeling, this joy. Now, when we look into Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, the first three words is what we look at: love, joy, and peace. Right. Love, joy, and peace. And the joy, love is first, joy is second, peace is third. The rest comes following that. So when we talk heartfelt religion, now let's look at some of the verses. First of all, we are going to go backwards from love, joy, and peace to peace, joy, and love. So we put peace first. Okay? Alright. So Sister Wilma, you start out and read the first verse of scripture, Romans chapter 5, verse 1.
Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. So, first thing is peace with God. Now, the Bible gives us, many times when we read the Bible, they say, you talk about faith, you talk about peace, you talk about it. But the way they put, the way that the Bible uses them, verbs, or adverbs, or whatever it is, word to describe it, there are a lot of difference. So, but here he says that we're being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Now, having peace with God, okay, this is what we have. But the wicked of the world, they do not have it. The sinners do not have it. But some sinners say, I don't believe God, I say peace. But they don't have the peace that is given by God. So, in fact, the Bible actually says, no matter how, though they look that they have peace, they actually no peace. We look at some of the other scriptures then. Jonah Wales read Isaiah chapter 57, verse 20 and 21. Isaiah 57, 20 and 21.
But the wicked are like the troubled sea, where it is not rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, says my God, to the wicked.
There is no peace. People who are rich, people think that the rich people are comfortable, they have all the comfort and everything seems to be peaceful. That is not really true. Because you do not know what is going on in their life. You know that, don't you? And its tendency is that when you are in high places, oh, look at what we have now in Singapore, the first gold medalist champion, Olympic champion with the gold medal, Schooling, right? Schooling, Joseph. Now, in the news, he was told that now, you belong to the public now. You know, everywhere you go, people are going to look at you. Okay, so you're no longer your own. You know, you have to put on an image. You know what I'm saying? This is true, isn't it? You know, and you cannot go out anyhow, behave anyhow, you know. You see. So, you look at some lot of rich men in the world, just the same. It's all about image. An image they put in front. But what we do not know is the inside. Do you understand? Now, the other day, how many days? Three days ago or so, I got an email. You know, I got an email the last few weeks. People are asking for money. So this email came in, and I wrote him, I said, we help you, and we cannot continue to help you like that. You know? So then he replied, and he said this, in just a few words. You do not love us, therefore you don't send money. You know, this is the Jesus voice. Because I look at it, I just already got shot in my life. So I look back to the pastor and said, oh, only when we send you money, we have love for you. So I said, what is love? When there's no money, there's no love. You know? And he replies, oh no, forgive me, Brother Gary, that's not what I mean. I didn't write properly, you know. So he said, what I mean is that even if you don't send us money, continue to love us, even though you don't send us money. So, okay, benefit of that. So that's why you cannot just read somebody's email and then, you know, and jump to the conclusion. I need to find out, you know, is it really true that you really said that, or that you wrote something else different? So that's the thing about it. So what the whole thing is that, as I said, when you don't look into a person, you don't look on the outside of a person, because you do not know what's inside the person, the good and bad. A person may be bad on the outward and rough, but inside is full of kindness. But there are people who on the outside looks nice and but inside is full of wickedness. We do not know all this. Isn't it true? You can see all that in the Bible, in the Old Testament too. Maybe like Judas Iscariot, he looks alright, trying to take whole money back, so we help the poor, but he got other motives. You see? Alright. And so, that is true. There's no wicked. No peace to the wicked. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. Brother Infant, will you read that?
But he was wounded.
Amen. So the righteous have peace. I mean, that is the peace, the true peace. Huh? You know what I'm talking about? That's all we have. Now, as a believer right now, as a Christian, if I ask you whether you have peace or not, if you say, no, there's a lot of turmoil in my heart, no peace, maybe that is natural because you're worried about, you know, about something, about your work maybe, or about your examination, you know, about your project, whatever that may be, that you know, we are here so because we have to fulfill our duty. But in general, in truth, do you have that peace of God? Do you have it? You know, no matter how much we go through, you know, the pain of life, there is always that peace within us. Okay, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. Brother Greg, will you read that? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14.
For he is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us.
Right, he is our peace. You know, this is one of the things about what Paul wrote. You know, between the Jew and the Gentile, they are always two different people. And even to this day, some Jew don't like to have anything to do with the Gentile. And a lot of Gentiles also don't like to have anything to do with the Jew, even though they are supposed to be believers. You know. But the moment that God has broken that down, you see, because He is our peace. And yet to every man, and I think that here in St. Paul, you know, we have actually a good religion harmony really in the society among the various religions. You know. And that is an important thing. And as far as we are Christians concerned, we should respect all the other religions for what they believe in, because we have the real peace. Alright, now let's go to another two verses of scripture. Brother Nathan, would you like to read that? Two scriptures verses now in Romans chapter 1, 17 and Romans 15, 33. Romans 1, 17 and Romans 15, 33.
For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith.
Romans 15, 33.
Now the God of peace
be with you all. Amen. Now here you see what we have is the God of peace. I don't know, in religion, in pagan religion, you have a God of war, God of this, God of all kinds of God, even God of fertility and all that. All these are all made up. People believe in those things because they do. And they all started way back in ancient times already, especially when little idols. You know that, don't you? I recently watched a video, you know, on the true story. And I see that this man carried him two idols that he believed in and worshiped. You know. And of course, in pagan religion they have that. Back in those days, even Jacob, the brothers, sisters, cousins, many of them carried this little idol and worshiped. A lot of people don't realize that. You read the Bible, you know that. You know. Because it's convenient to carry their God in a little one instead of having a big one. And they are all even symbols in religion. But here is what we're talking about is the God of peace. But the God of peace, to give you peace, that you may have peace with Him, is that first of all, you must be made righteous. Like we read earlier on in Romans 1:17. If you don't have the righteousness of God, how do you have peace? When you come to the Lord, you must first confess your sin, admit that you are a sinner, and receive Him as your Savior. Then He gives you the Holy Spirit, and that's why He gives you the peace. Otherwise, you don't have it. And yet in the world today, if you have Christian, yet people are still struggling. And there have been Christian people that, as we all know, I don't know, as I say, my life experience, people have been in the mess for so many years, 10, 20, 30 years. And then what happened? They give up their faith. Some people went to a trial, like a man running 400 meters. Halfway 200 meters, he fell. And then he sat on the track and started crying. You know. And blame it on, I don't know what, maybe his shoe? Maybe he blame it on the track? You know what I'm saying? You will blame all the circumstances. But if he is a runner, he will not look at his condition. Because I was watching that Olympic, you know. And there was this big walk, the main walk. And this guy, you know, he was one of the former champions. And when he walked, he had a problem with his shoe. And he was stopped, and he stopped tying the shoelace, you know, and the commentator was saying, there's something wrong with his shoe. Then he was walking, a few kilometers down the road, again something happened. He went to the south and he stopped tying his shoe. I don't know what happened, you know. You see? And he just continued walking. And I think that is the thing. If you are a runner, you finish it.
Is that right? If you look at a big one, look at a marathon. Even the last one that comes in, he will finish it even after maybe 30 minutes or 20 minutes late. I remember back in the 64, the Olympic race, I think it was, I can't remember what country it was now. The last one that came in, hours later, the stadium, everybody, by the time they went and came back, they were going to the stadium. What happened? Because he had a problem with his leg. And when he ran, he took away, he removed his shoes. And he literally ran on barefoot. And he was staggering, not even running. All the way back to the stadium to cross the finishing line. People were waiting, and the stadium was almost empty, but those three people who realized how important it is. Not the one who ran the first, who came in first. It's the one who finished the race. You know. And he was thankful, he was practically dragging his feet like this, walking, dragging. And when he came into the stadium, he has to make one round and then finish to the finishing line. My goodness, those left, maybe 100 of people or so people stood up and gave him such an ovation. People will move. You are already lost. You have a problem with your leg. Just give it up. No, he doesn't give it up. That's what we're talking about, running a race. Don't sit down and throw a temper tantrum and all that. Finish the race. Get up. The problem is not the shoe, not the track. You may have pain in the foot. Even if you have to cry all the way in the middle of night to finish the race. You know. That was really something. When I saw that movie at that time, because you know, Olympic knows that you don't have video, you don't have TV. They make film out of it and you are watching in the cinema, because I was thrilled by what people and how the human race, the athlete, can endure that what they call the pain just to do what they want to do, to achieve. Well, alright. Let us go to the next one here, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 to 7. Brother Henry, will you read that? Philippians chapter 4, 6 to 7.
Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Amen. So we talk about the God of peace, now he said the peace of God. Now it's not, now we talk about faith. Have faith in God. But have the faith of God. It's just another thing altogether. So this is the faith of God. Not just the peace of God. Not just peace with God or peace from God. But the peace of God. The real thing. And I think that's what God gives us. Huh? Alright. Next one. Eddie, you can have that in Isaiah 26, verse 3.
Open you the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in.
Yes. Oh, chapter 26, which one you are reading? Verse 3, right? Yes. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. And the peace of God is perfect. Alright? Next verse. Psalms 119. 65. Psalms 119:165. Sorry. Brother Jimmy.
Great peace had David, love thy law, and nothing shall offend him.
Right. So if we have turmoil, it means, as I said, we tend to have a lot of turmoil, and frustration, and confusion in ourselves, because we look at the circumstances. That is happening around us or happened to us. You know. You see. Like what was spoken last Sunday. The word we speak. What Peter spoke, what he spoke. Right? I will not deny you, Lord. I will not deny you.
And Jesus said, you will, three times, before the cock crow twice. And each time when somebody said, you are one of them, no, I'm not, you don't know what you're talking about. Another time the same, and that time he cursed and he swore. So, if the Lord would have asked Peter, I said, why do you curse us, sir? Because he irritated me. That man irritated me. That woman irritated me. Is that what it is? What about James and John? Let's call fire to come upon them. Because they don't believe. Why? It's just because they don't believe in making the right to call heaven to send fire and kill them all. I mean, we all have this thinking. You know, the frustration is one thing for you to get frustrated in your head and think about it, but don't speak it out. Because the power of the spoken word is powerful. It's one thing to think about it. And realize, whoa, I think about it, it's not good. Remember I told you about how I want to scratch the fellow's car? That's because he came a honking behind me. You know. And I said, God grant me the wish. Because I said, if I see you at the airport, it's where you are going, where I'm going to, I'm going to scratch your car. That was all in my going on in my teeth. Twice the man in the Mercedes van was just irritated. And when I was there, it was not presented to me. So what now? And I look at the car. Man! You know, the Holy Spirit came for me and just wondering, will you do it? You want to do it? God, scratch it. You want to do it, really? You know, it's one thing to get frustrated and think about it, but next, the thing is not to speak over it or not going to really put into action. Wow. Is that right, really? I mean, the God put up his little finger at you, maybe he didn't. Maybe he was not thinking that you are going to hit him because he never realized that he was crossing into your path. Maybe he thought he was alright that you are irritating and he got irritated. And he was showing all the middle finger, all that, and that's how road rage happened. And if you are frustrated with him, hey, I didn't do anything, I'm just warning you. Now you give me the 30 star, I'm going to knock you down. You know, you can have all these things going on. We're living in a world full of all this confusion and stress and frustration. What we are, look, as I said, we are at the end. We are very close to the coming of the Lord. I don't know. And I was just thinking of what the pastor was sharing on the video of, you know, what that young man who is now about 70 years old, told him what Brother Abraham said. Yes. We are. In a period where we have all this teaching, revelation, understanding. And what does this word do for us? Here are the words of the Lord and the mystery of the revelation revealed to you to solidify you, we will say, to stabilize you like a Gibraltar rock or even stronger than Gibraltar rock to hold you. And you will not be shaken. Right? That's what it is. Be not tossed to and fro, as the Paul is saying. Let us go on to perfection. The 5 more minutes bring the word, and this all this teaching, this early rain, teaching rain. So we will not be shaken. And waiting for the last letter for the letter rain to come. And those men will come, speak the word, and things will happen. It's gonna happen. So there's to look forward to it. But not be slumbering at this time, especially don't slumber at this time. You know what happened in the early 20th century, the foolish virgin? The virgin that came out and then the foolish went in and then started to slumber again. And many are even slumbering now. Because they missed the boat, they missed what was supposed, and they are waiting for the next boat to bring them. See? Alright. Next verse. Abundant peace now. Psalm 72, verse 7. Joseph, will you read that? Psalm 72, verse 7. We have perfect peace, we have great peace. Now we talk about the abundant peace. Psalm 72, verse 7.
In his days shall the righteous flourish, and abundance of peace so long as the moon endures.
In his day shall the righteous flourish. The abundance of peace so long as the moon endures, so long as it seems like the moon in one day is not going to be around. So long as the moon endures, the abundance of peace will be there for us. But the thing is that, you know, all this peace, different, the perfect peace, abundant peace, you know, we need to hold to it. Some people say, yeah, the Bible says, God give me the peace, how come I don't feel any peace? Did you hold it? Did you grab it? You know, God give it to us, sometimes we don't use it. We just put it aside, we don't even think of it, and we just think about our problem. How can you see the forest for the tree? Or is it the other way around? How can you see a tree for the forest? Huh? You know what I'm saying? You can't see because you're looking at the wrong thing. You stand there in the tree in front of all these trees out there. So where is the forest? Dummy? You're standing in the forest of trees. Right. Yeah, I'm in the forest, but where is the tree? That'd be a little funny. Some people are just all confused about what it is. Huh? So when we have this thing that God says, abundance of grace, are we going to receive it? You know, God has a lot of grace, a lot of mercy, right? We must pull from Him. You understand what I mean? That's what it is. Like an athlete, as I said, if he tripped and he fell, he has already been years of training, the marathons, or 400 meters, or whatever it is. So he must get up and say, I'm trained for this. It's not about winning and had the first place. It's about winning over myself. You understand what I mean? Overcome to finish the race. Not overcome to always be the first. Never. In life, there is not always that we always get the first. In life, there is no such thing as always the first. Always the first. Well, not like in some society. The firstborn son always is the first. They get the first choice. No, it's not always that. You know what Jesus Christ did? He was the firstborn, right? Was he not the firstborn? So what the Bible said? He came down to be a servant. Not to be served, but to be a servant. That's what made you first. So that is the marathon that I see in 64. The man who came there after 7 hours, he's the first. Because he overcame himself. He overcame. Wow, the endurance. Focus to finish the race. That's what the peace that God gives us to do. Now let's go to another one. John 14:27. John 14:27. Look at it. John 14:27. John 14:27.
Peace I give you, may peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid.
Peace I give unto you. My peace I give you. Not as the world giveth. The world. Yeah, I think Singapore is very fortunate. We have a peaceful country. So as far, I mean, compared to a lot of countries, right? We are living in an area where there's a lot of turmoil, but we have peace. But you look at Thailand, there's a problem politically. You see, Myanmar, even in the Philippines, but they're still, you know, Philippines still getting better, no? Huh? A lot of people don't like President Duterte, you know. But he has his ministry. See, I'm talking about he has his ministry. He's elected to clean up some dirty thing. You know. But something must be done. I remember back then when I first went to the Philippines, there was this mayor in Manila called Dirty Harry. I don't know what his full name. They call him Dirty Harry, he was a policeman. Huh? Alfredo Lim. Yeah, he's a Chinese guy. He's a chief of police or something.
Mayor.
Okay, he was a mayor, yeah. And I remember then that the brother was telling me. Yeah, he told me, the brother took me, the first time when he took me, he said, brother, God, you want to see the red light area? So he took me, drive the car through this red light area. The road was very small, you know, filled with traffic. And there was a lot of bright lights and all these bars and disco, and you can see. He said, "Brother Guy, you'll notice one thing. A lot of white men and little Filipino lady." So, true enough, on both sides of the car, driver slowly, you see 6'3", white man, big, weighing 235 pounds or something. And then here was a little Filipino lady, 5'1", 5'3". He could leave him out like a little child. You know? Then years later, he took me around. The place is a bit cleaner. Because dirty hair ain't do the job. A lot of people don't want to do the dirty job, so dirty hair has to do the job. So the same thing was going on now in the Philippines. Somebody had to do the job. Remember Singapore, what it was back? How many years? 50 years ago? Before you became Prime Minister? If you only read the history, that's why the world respected him. You know what? At that time, back in Singapore, you know what kind of country that was? I was in my early teen, I mean, not even teen yet, I was preteen. I already sensed the problem is out there. You know, a lot of corruption, bribery, you know. So if we don't have a good leader, Singapore will not be here today. And we can say we have a peaceful country. Yeah, we all are satisfied, right? We have what we want. And nobody wants war. Okay, that is only the physical. That's only for this body comfort. This is only for the life that we live here on this earth. But what about the inner, the inside here? Because after all, it looks wonderful, yeah. But what about the inside? There is something that is, well, unless you are superly dead to your sin. But for those who look at themselves, they know that there is a deep calling to the deep. There is something out there, you know. There are some people calling to the deep, but they went to the wrong place and looked into all the wrong religion, false religion. Yeah? But we really thank God for this peace that He gave us, the peace, everlasting peace, abiding peace. So that is one of the things. Peace is heartfelt. You feel it? Yes. The next one is joy. Joy is also heartfelt. Alright, so we are looking to Psalms chapter 5, verse 11. Brother John, Psalm chapter 5, verse 11.
Psalm chapter 5, verse 11. For let all who take refuge in you be glad, and let them ever sing for joy. And may you shelter them, and those who love your name, they exalt in you.
You know, when you say shout for joy, you're thinking about shouting, right? Hallelujah! You know, right? You know the first time when I came to the Lord, I was just shouting, Hallelujah! I was crying with joy. Or shout means you cry out. But he was crying with happiness inside. Just hold on to it. Because you know, a burden has been lifted. And that's the joy that God gives. Now you are no longer a sinner. You are my child. Amen. Psalms 43. Verse 3 to 4. Sister Bali, you want to read that?
Psalms 43, verse 3 to 4. Open out your light, your throat. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your tabernacle. Then I will go to the altar of God, the God of exceeding joy, and on the harp I will praise you, O God, my God.
Amen. You see, bring me unto thy holy hill, to thy tabernacle, unto God my exceeding joy. So, this is talking about coming to the house of the Lord. Approaching Him. Some people don't go to church, some people don't fellowship. If you don't, then how do you express your joy to the Lord? There's one other thing about fellowship. Fellowship brings joy. Because in fellowship, And I think people play with the word fellowship, you know. They're all fellows, no woman. Fellows in the ship, rejoicing and happy. So you sit together, you have food, you have feasting, right? And you're feasting, you have joy. And that's what it is. We need to have fellowship. Some people don't want fellowship. And that's painful. So I don't need to go to church. One time I was, you know, an email was corresponding with me a couple of years ago. And they were asking me about certain believer that we all know. And I said that, you know, the brother is no longer in the fellowship, as far as I know. And I said he's backslidden. And then the sister wrote me an email and says, "Bregan, are you telling me that because a person don't go to church, he's backslidden? You know?" So I said, "No, that's not what I mean. You know, I said, he has not been going to church for long, he is backslidden. Not because he didn't go to church, therefore he's backslidden, but he's backslidden for many other reasons. Because, you know, the family themselves don't go to church anymore. Because of the problem that they faced with their churches. Now, you know one thing, there's no perfect church. And if you, we cannot agree with everybody, right? We don't agree because we all have our belief. You know, I said, yeah, I can fellowship with anybody. Like, you know, over the years, 71 until now, how the different churches, they were split out there, and they spoke all kinds of things about me, but when I have the convention, we go. But when we have convention, they don't come. You see. Now, I can have fellowship. That's why I would not stop having fellowship with anybody. Even though they strongly was against me. But if they suddenly say, "No, I don't have any fellowship with you," like brother said, "No more reconciliation." No. You see? So when the person talked like this, and I said, "Okay, we'll just wait and see." Sooner or later, he again he sent me another email, "Please send me money." What's going on in his mind that you know? I know that people go through life with a lot of things in your mind, your heart. But don't lose this joy. You understand? And the joy of the Lord is our strength. And the only way to get the joy of the Lord is His Word. That's what it is. Only in the Word. That's what the disciples said. You know, He put it down our heart when He opened the Scripture. Just to know the Word, the revelation, the truth, it burns within our heart. Alright, we got another one now. We look at joy as of God forgive us our sin, and that's where the joy comes from. Psalms 32, verse 1. Sister Kenshi, can you read that? Psalms 32, verse 1. That's right. Blessed is those whose sin is forgiven. And the woman that was caught in adultery. Remember the word brought to Jesus Christ? Her sin is forgiven. And my, she must have filled with joy. You know, to know your sin is forgiven. Because if your sin is not forgiven, the sin condemns us. Amen. Acts 8. Acts chapter 8. And verse 39. Let me just read this one. "And when they were gone up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing." Why? Because the eunuch saw the light, sins was forgiven. After his baptism, he came out rejoicing. See? Alright, we go to the next, the joy of communion with the Lord. Psalm 16:11. Should anyone read that? Psalm 16:11.
"You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore."
Amen. The joys of communion. How important it is that we need to then meditate. Let me ask you a question. How often do you meditate? And I'm not asking meditator to sit in the position of a lotus flower or something and meditate. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when you're relaxing, you know, do you reflect? Or even in your job. And sometimes you daydream. Sometimes when I was, you know, replying to email or doing my trying to compile the book on Genesis, get it ready for print, my mind would drift and I would daydream and meditate about the goodness of God, about this and about that. You know. So meditation and communion with the Lord is very, very important. 1 John 1. Rata, will you read that? 1 John 1:3-4. Yeah, 1 John 1:3-4. 1 John.
That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full.
Amen. That the fellowship is truly with the Father and with the Son. The Apostle John wrote that. I would say, want to let you know that you can fellowship with us because we have a common fellowship with the Father and the Son. And this day I will write to you that your joy may be full. We cannot sit together and fellowship with the Father and Son, and then you bring in some other gods and do it. We can't have fellowship with that. And that will be just a debate and discussion, not a fellowship. You understand? We can sit together and we can open the Bible. Though you may disagree with me over a certain subject, a certain doctrine, we can still discuss. And still our fellowship is with God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we are talking about the Word. But you bring me some other subject into it. Hey, but brother God, you know what? I believe evolution is true. We came from a monkey. And I'm sorry, goodbye monkey. You can go. Because you know you will no longer fellowship with the Father and His Word, the Son. Is that right? You are bringing in something that is not scriptural. So there is no way we can fellowship on this ground. Amen. Let us go to the next one. The joy of Bible study. Ha! Bible study. The joy of Bible study. Jeremiah. Chapter 15 verse 16. Brother Sharon, will you read that? Jeremiah 15 verse 16.
Thou wast my farm, and I did eat them, and thou wast was upon me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called of thy name, O Lord God of hosts.
That's right. Thy word was found, and I did eat them. Eat them. And you know, I like how the Bible used the word eat. John, take it from the angel and eat it. Eat it! You see, that's the beautiful, flowery word describing about digesting the Word of God. Chew on it. I mean, you people don't, the Bible did not say, I found the Word and I swallow it. Oh, you don't swallow the Word. You eat it. When you eat meat, you chew. You understand what I'm talking about? We are not like dogs. When you pick up a piece of meat, next moment, what happened? You don't see the dog chewing on it. They swallow the whole thing. All animals swallow it. We are not animals. So that's why we need to eat on it. When you eat meat, you chew. You chew. You chew. You digest. You crunch it. You ground it. And to taste it in the mouth that the Lord is good. That's why the Bible uses the word eat it. And a lot of people, I think, they swallow it so much so that in digestion that they don't know what they believe. The Word of God is beautiful. So we need to study it. And thy word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. That is very truly burned with me when I eat it. Oh my, what a good taste for that wagyu beef. Isn't it? But I don't want anything in this world. The joy of Christian fellowship. Psalms 95. Verse 1. And 2. Elsa, will you read that? Psalms 95, 1 and 2.
Hosanna singeth to the Lord.
come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him.
Amen. Make a joyful noise. That's what we all need to do. We need to really sing to the Lord. Don't sing like somebody died in a funeral. Yeah, I remember those days, some churches are so stickler for seriously singing only the doxology, you know. Singing, no clapping of hands, nothing. And when Pentecostal came into the early 20th century, and some of these, you know, traditional Baptists and all that, when they see the Pentecost dance across the room, they say, what's going on? That woman is crazy? Or what? What spirit come upon her? They don't realize, you know. And the Holy Spirit make a person dance across the room. Yes? The joy. You cannot stop. You remember how King David removed all his robe? Huh? And start dancing before the ark because the ark has come home to the camp. And my goodness. And his wife was looking at it and all the other women, maybe some men said, what's wrong with this king? Huh? Is something gone wrong in his head? He got a fall and knock. He said, what? He has gone crazy. A king behaved like that. You know, the joy. That's one of the things is this. I remember Ben Howard said this. He believed in the liberty in Christ. And he told me, very God, nobody can take that out of my hand. I said, I agree with you. The joy of the Lord. Don't let anybody take it away from you. You feel like rejoicing, just rejoice. Don't say, hey, don't do it here, man. No. You know what I'm saying? You just swim. Do it. Dance. That's why you want to sing in the toilet when you're showering, when you feel something coming on, and just sing. Open your mouth. You never know what will come up in your mouth. Huh? That is true. That's how I got my song. I belong to Lord Jesus. I was just in the room showering. I just say, oh Lord, I belong to you. And then the words are coming up. And I quickly draw myself. When I start writing it down. You never know how that, you know, your joy, God will give you something. Is that right? Right. That's a beautiful thing. And Psalms 122 verse 1. Read the same, read the other verse as well. 122 verse 1. Chapter 122 verse 1.
I was glad when you said unto me, let's go into the house of the Lord.
Right. I was glad when they said unto me. That's King David, huh? Remember? A king who's crazy, dancing almost half naked. So I was glad when they said unto me, let's go, yes, let's go. Or those were the day when I was in the assemblies of God. I never missed any meeting. Whatever they have, primary, you know, leadership meeting, Sunday meeting, youth meeting, I go. Just because I want to have fellowship. I want God just to worship. You know, it's just the joy. The joy of Christian service now. If you have all this, you definitely want to serve God in one way or another. Psalms 100. Psalms 100, the whole Psalms. Now we're not going to read the whole Psalm 100 because you know that the Psalm 100 is actually a psalm. And we have sung this psalm a few times. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Remember the song? How many of you know this song? Huh? Are you familiar with this song? No. Make the joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Told me, because my friend. Enter into His gate with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. For the Lord is good. You don't remember the song. Well, those are the day when we sing this very often. Just made a joyful noise unto the Lord. And when we sing, just sing it, we just, oh man, wonderful. Right, and us. Psalms 126. These are all the, you know, we make a joyful noise unto the Lord. We want to declare to the nation that is your service for God. Your joy because you want to do God a service. Right? Now, know what Paul said in the book of Corinthians. He said, if you have a testimony, you give. If you have a revelation, you share. If you have a song, you sing it. Right? That's your talent. Psalm 126 is also the same. It's the joy in the heart. Reap in joy. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then were our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then said it among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us. Well, off, we are glad. See, because when you sing, the nation knows about it. You are actually declaring the goodness of God. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the stream in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. They that go forth and weep, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaf with him. Luke 15, 5 and 6. Brother Christopher, we read that. Luke 15, chapter 15, 5 and 6.
And when he had found it, he laid it on his shoulder, rejoicing. And when he came home, he called together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.
There are a lot to adjust telling about this parable of the shepherd who found his lost sheep. So he rejoiced, even in true life. When shepherds found their lost sheep, they rejoice. True, isn't it? So we should be doing God a service, every one of us. But break out, I'm not a shepherd. What do you mean you're not a shepherd? Huh? Act like one then, do something about it. There are sheep out there, lost sheep out there, that the Lord wants you to find. I always have the opportunity to be able to share with somebody. You don't know whether they are lost sheep, but if the Lord tells you how to share, do it. You see? Alright? So now the last thing here is love. Which is the first be the first. The first will be the last. We put it last. Love is heartfelt as well. Help our religion that we have the peace, joy, and now we have this love, which is the major part of it. Romans 5, 7. Brother John, read.
One will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man someone will die even to die.
That is talking about love, man. Would you love for would you die for me? John. Who would die for me? I mean, you just say, if the time comes, maybe the time comes, I would think about it. Yeah, you know, so definitely what the Bible says here is very true. Huh? For scarcely for a righteous man, one would die. Yet, peradventure for a good man, some would even die. You know, we look at the case, look at the reason why we would die for somebody. But usually, very rare. But Jesus Christ died for us. We are not good. You think we are good? No, we only die for good men. But are we good? Huh? No. Yet Christ died for us. Wow, what kind of love is that, man? What kind of love is that? Love for God. Now that God loves us, now we have love for God. Mark 12, verse 29. Mark 12, 29. Mike, will you read it? Mark chapter 12, verse
29.
And verse 30 as well.
And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all
thy strength. This is the first commandment.
Wow, that's a lot of demand, eh? Not only Lord, but all the soul, your whole being, your spirit, huh? Your mind, your strength, everything. Is that easy? No, it's not easy. Of course it's not easy, Vishaka, right? But you know, all this is flaws from God. You can only do it because the reality of this heartfelt religion. That's why you take the skim on drawing from Christ, the abundance of grace, the abundance of peace, the abundance of mercy, of strength, of joy. You keep on drawing it from Him. And we can do it. Because, you see, it just, like the song we sing. Look at the eagle in the sky. It doesn't struggle. It doesn't strive. For the power that makes him rise is already there in the sky. Isn't it so? The more that we struggle, why do people struggle? Why do we struggle? It's because we look at the circumstances. You know, the eagle perched on the cliff. When the storms have come, all you need is just say, jump. Because the power is there. I just jump and I just spread my wings. He hardly even flies. But other birds, oh, here comes the storm. Let me hide in the cliff somewhere, hide in the rock somewhere. And nobody's there to fly, because when they try to do it, the wind will blow them off instead. And they will be strong and try to keep themselves upright. But the eagle are built for that. Are you eagle? Or are you an ostrich? Oh, here comes the storm. Oh no, bury my head in the sand. I see no nothing, I see no storm, no problem. You see, depends on what we're looking at. Do you look at yourself as an eagle because you are a child of God and you can fly? You can fly. We can't. But you will look at the circumstances and you're terrified by it. You blame your failure on the circumstances. Yes. And this is what is the reason. You know why I failed my exam? Because the question is, we never go to this question before. That's why I don't understand. You blame me on a question. You ever hear people say, you know? Actually, I flopped my English the first time. Because, you know, in those days, there are two modules. And the school taught only one module. So I panicked. So I went to the next module and tried it. And attempted. So I flopped my English, so I blame him on that. Is that what it is? Or is it not because we are just, I was just struggling because I panicked. Oh my, what happened? I didn't keep calm. You see? This is your case. Alright, next. 1 John 4:19. Sister Anita, you want to read it? 1 John 4:19.
We love him because he first loved us.
That's right. Simple. We love him because he first loved us. We reciprocate. Huh? And that's what usually, you know, that's what usually dog does. So, Brother, you don't mean dog. Well, we are all dogs, actually. No, are we not dogs before? You know, the son of a woman said, about Jesus, we don't give bread to the dogs. We don't take it the food from master, then I give it to the dogs. He said, even the dog, take it from the master's under the master's table. We were dogs. And you know, you give a dog food, the dog come up to you and rub yourself and come up to you, because you know, they just supplicate the love to you. That's how it is. There is a reaction, there is an auto-reaction. So if we don't have that, some people say, give me, give me, give me, give me. Lord, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. And then we never return anything to the Lord. We went back to the Lord empty-handed. There will be a lot of people in the last day when they stand before the throne of Christ, or judgment seat of Christ. And Christ said, what do you have for me? You stand on there, I tell you, you're looking at Christ. You have nothing in your hand. Nothing in the hand I bring to my Lord. Huh? Isn't that terrible? So you pray that you have something for the Lord when you go out there to receive the reward. Have something for the Lord. If not, at least a wild daisy on the roadside. Huh? And at least have something for the Lord. Okay, we have, because it's love of God, there must be this love for one another. 1 John 3. 1 John 3. Verse 14 to 20. Zahir, you want to read that? 1 John 3, 14 to 20.
We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother hath need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how doth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knows all things.
Amen. So the need to love one another. But I know that some people use this verse to get money. You know that? So you know, have compassion for me, brother again. The Bible said that you must have compassion. You have a lot. We don't have. So you must give us, help us. This is not what the Bible talks about that. It talks about genuine love. Genuine love is that you ask me for money. Yes, I have and you don't have. I said, why do you don't have? You have legs and hands and you're a healthy man. You don't want to work. But I'm called of God, so I don't work. Really? Then you don't work, as Paul said, don't eat. Remember that? You remember what the Bible said? Paul said, if a man does not work, nor shall he eat. And that's what I told one minister in the past, in Singapore. He said, I'm a preacher, I don't work. And yet he had no congregation to support him. He wanted to draw the money, tithes from me. And he said, brother, you're still working. And I'm not, I'm a full-time minister, you are not. What is a full-time minister? Was Brother Abraham a full-time minister when he was still walking the line? Huh? Was Elisha a full-time prophet when he was still digging the earth and watching over the cattle? Some people have all these ideas of misapplying the scriptures to get what they want. But this is talking about real genuine compassion to your people. Alright? Pray for one another, support one another, and all that. Last verse of scripture. Romans 10, verse 1. Romans chapter 10, verse 1. I will read this. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Because that's what Paul. Paul loved Israel. Paul loved the Jews. My prayer is that they might be saved. And you know how Paul went up to them and preached to them and they hated him. Huh? They reject the gospel. Finally, Paul said, well, God told me to turn to the Gentiles. That's his line. So, in conclusion, all that, verse Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. So every one of us must feel this in our heart. This tree, this love, joy, and peace, we must feel it. Feel that in our heart. But if that is absent from you, you don't have it. You don't. You feel that you don't have it. At times, it's okay. It doesn't mean that you're not saved. Because if you are born again, you're born again. You understand what I'm saying? Huh? But you should have all these three. But at times, because you are troubled. Huh? Frustrated because of certain circumstances. Don't look at the circumstances. But when you look at the circumstances, that circumstances will become mountains to you. There will become mountains in your life. And when the mountain crumbles on you, you feel very, very upset. So that's why peace may be destroyed by the cares of this world. There's so much thing in life to care about that we seem to lose our peace. What about joy? Joy may be lost because of sin. Yes? You commit a sin. You're aware that you sin. If you don't confess it, the joy, you know, it seems to be gone. Love may grow cold. Don't let your love grow cold. What Bible says in the book of Revelation chapter 3 about concerning this very sin age? Huh? Many in love has gone cold. Jesus talked about it to the disciples, about many will, the love will grow cold, and even will even betray a brother or a sister. You know. So the salvation does not depend on our feeling, but on our faith. But when the truth and the faith and the it's real, then that feeling of joy is there. It becomes real. So when you have the truth and you have the faith, your feeling is burning because of God's word in you. Right? And as Jeremiah said, eat the word. And he said, can I hold my peace? Can I hold my peace? I can't. Because it's burning in me, so I must prophesy. And this is what he did. The Lord bless you. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for all that you are to us, Father. Let these words of the disciple who wrote to Emmaus met Jesus Christ on the way long and not recognizing who he was, but when they sat down for a little time of fellowship and in the breaking of bread. Oh my, not just the bread that they put into their mouth, but the bread of life that Jesus uttered, opening up the scriptures, and they said, oh my, burns within our heart. What joy they have that night. And I believe too, Lord, your children will feel that each time when the word of God is broken down and given to us to eat, you'll give us the peace, the joy, the love. We thank you, Father. Thank you for what you've given us. It's a treasure, unspeakable, Lord. Treasure full of glory. And we are waiting, Father, for the day when Jesus Christ will come back again. What a great day will be when we see Him face to face. Asking for that, Father, in every one of us our life, that we will make it to see Jesus Christ. And I said, you bless the Lord this day. All that which has been spoken and shared, that we can always meditate upon and give us strength. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.